Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's DeStefano's Den with sports guy TJ DeStefano here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and westmorelandgold.net. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome inside DeStefano's Den on Westmoreland Saturday Morning. We're on at 7:30 on 98.7 and 107.5 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX, westmorelandgold.net, and the iHeartRadio app. I'm your host, TJ DeStefano, and as always, we're talking sports. Today, we are talking St. Vincent College and Seton Hill University football with the head coaches of both programs. Our first guest is the third-year head coach of the St. Vincent Bearcats, Aaron Smetanka. Good morning, Coach. Thanks for coming on this Saturday morning to talk some St. Vincent football.
Hey, thanks, TJ. Thanks for having me on today.
Always great to talk with you. Now, the Bearcats played a four-game spring season due to COVID, and you guys went 2-2 in the spring with wins over Bethany and Waynesburg and losses to Grove City and W&J. So, thoughts on your spring season?
We got a lot of good work, honestly, during the spring. I know we only got four games played last year. Definitely felt bad for our seniors that they graduated in May, not having a full season. But I think everything considered, I think everybody was just blessed to at least get four games played, though, and actually have the opportunity to get on the field this year. That's where a lot of people that were less fortunate didn't have that opportunity this past year for 2020-2021. So going out there, getting four games, our guys, I thought, competed very well in the four games that they played. I thought we saw a lot of good strides, especially with some of our younger guys that really stepped up and performed well during that time. To finish the thing out the way we wanted to, but at least during that time, we finished out at the 500 mark, 2-2. And I told our guys the last game we had to play then was here at home. And finished them out with a win on senior day versus Waynesburg. Told them we just got to now build off of that. Build off it for training camp. We just finished up here over the weekend and now building up for this upcoming season now that we have for 2021 fall.
Coach, what were some of the positives and negatives of playing a spring season as opposed to a normal year where you wouldn't be playing any games in the spring?
The positives were, it was basically a jump start then for this upcoming fall. You see at the next level, they're getting spring games, Division II, Division I FCS, Division I FBS programs. So they get those opportunities where they have padded practices and actually get to play a spring game. For us, then it gave us that opportunity that we were able to practice during that time. Then we actually got four games to play. I think that really helped with development of our players going into it. And we definitely saw the benefits from that. We were pretty excited about having that opportunity. The negative I'd just say was I just felt bad for our seniors. I mentioned before that they didn't get that opportunity to play a full 10-game season before they graduated. And good things for them is that they were able to graduate and they were moving into their jobs now going forward. A few of our players now have decided that they were able to come back because they were going more into graduate school. So those guys will have that opportunity now that will be playing for us this upcoming fall. But the majority of our guys in that senior class, though, they haven't graduated now. They've already started a career path going forward, which is the ultimate goal for our guys, yes, as student-athletes.
Now, as we move to this year, first, how are your numbers roster-wise? Are you happy with the players you have?
Yes, definitely are. We're a little over 100 roster-wise. It builds good depth, both in offense, defense, with our specialist groups, too, on special teams, especially with having a JV schedule that we're able to play this upcoming fall. Now gives them the opportunity to go out there playing games, treat them the same exact way through film and grading and feedback with our players. Those guys get good development during that time. We also see throughout, when we saw back in 2019, some of those guys then get the opportunities from that experience because, hey, they played very well. They've done well throughout practices. And then we saw as the season went on, saw some time then with our varsity team. And that's what we're looking on our end is we want to continue the development of their growth by having opportunities to compete and to play in games versus other teams too as well, not just going through the practice aspect the whole way through a season.
So how did the off season go after you had your spring season?
Good. Yeah, really good. We were pretty excited. We got finished up with the end of April, and we kind of started going right into finishing our 2021 class because we were still finishing up that recruiting class. Kind of pushed the recruiting cycle, honestly, back last year with how the pandemic hit. Because a lot of people weren't able to get colleges or get on campuses throughout the year because of rules and regulations. But after that, some of them were able to get on throughout the summer then. And then on top of that, started the path then for 22 recruiting. So this year was great for high school student athletes that they were actually able to go out there and compete at camps. They were able to go to prospect camps and combine throughout the summer. June's always a huge month for that. So it was really nonstop throughout the month of June with really camps basically every day, every other day throughout the entire month. So it was nice to get out there and actually evaluate prospects in person instead of waiting to see what their film's going to be on top of that. So now we have a good evaluation off of that. Now coming in and checking out games for this fall season, which here in Western PA just started last Friday.
Now as we go again into this season, talk about some players that you're looking to really make a big impact for you this year.
Yeah, I thought Brady Walker on the offensive side of the ball really stepped up to having an opportunity coming off the injury in 2019 with his medical redshirt year. And the four games he played, he was, ended up being tied for first in touchdowns, first in passing efficiency, completion percentage, second in yards in the conference. I felt he did a really good job of understanding that, I think, coming back and having that understanding of the system the second year around. And now coming off of that injury, feeling more confident and comfortable for where he's at. Obviously, I think he's got some good playmakers around him, which really helped ease that as well. With a lot of heavy, I'd say, senior emphasis led, with Keith Kelk being a guy who's led the team in receiving two the last 3 years. You had Andre Dixon, you had Phil Harding. We're all senior guys at the positions that I think really helped out there. Jeremy with Derek, that was another guy we moved over from the defensive side of the ball, and he really stepped up in his first role, that moving into offensive receiver position. And then some young guys that we were able to get on the field, which helped. Malia Irfin was his first year. Caleb McElroy. And then definitely helped with that development then for those guys for this upcoming fall season as well. Defensively, which was great to see out there, Cam Norris, who's led our team in tackles the last 2 years on the defensive side of the ball. Really stepped up out there. No matter where we were putting him on the field, you could see he made a big impact for us. And now we're blessed that he's coming back and he's here for grad school now. So he's going to utilize that fifth-year eligibility that he was able to get. So he'll be helping us here as one of our leaders and captains, too, for this upcoming fall season. And then another guy then that got some time for the first time as a starter was Jack Poland. And another linebacker is a guy that finished the team second tackles. You saw he really stepped up then, too, for his first opportunity in a starting role. So we're pretty excited about that. And then kind of more on our back end, Kyle Coombs is another guy. It's one of our captains coming this fall season. Really stepped up then, too, in his role and more of a leadership role then, too, in that back end safety position. So we're pretty excited about those guys coming back on offense and defensive side of the ball. As we prepare here to come into our first game here.
And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, in the PAC this year, the Bearcats in the preseason poll picked 7th out of 10 teams. The conference includes Westminster, W&J, Case Western Reserve, Grove City, Carnegie Mellon, Geneva, Bethany, Waynesburg, and Teal. So give me your thoughts on the conference and what you're expecting to see this year.
Oh, it's great football, honestly, all around. Every single year, there's at least two teams that are top 25 in all Division III in the country. This year, coming into it, you know, with Westminster being one of them, they finished out the spring with the undefeated season, winning a conference. So they're a top 25 team coming in. W&J is another one coming into it. The team that didn't play this past spring, Case Western Reserve, who was the team that won in 2019. So we know they're going to be prepared and ready to go. Throughout our conference, week in and week out, no matter who the opponent on the schedule is, we know we got to bring it. We got to know. We got to make sure we're prepared. And we're putting the time in and day out throughout the season. Because there's no easy weeks. There's no easy games on the schedule. That's what makes this conference such a great one to play in now, Division III. And I know that's why I'm excited to be able to coach in it, and our staff is too, and the guys that have an opportunity to be out there to compete, student athletes, they're going to be in for a dogfight day in and day out through our prize, but then week in and week out with our opponents on the schedule.
And you guys will open the season a week from today on Saturday, September 11th at 1:30, and you guys have to make a long trip to Bluffington, Ohio to take on Bluffington University. So talk about that opponent and what you know about them as you prepare to open the season against them.
Yeah, it's about week away here. I'm going to Bluffton University, going into their place, going on the road for our first game. It is a little bit of a trip, a little over 4.5 hours, being able to stay overnight. Last 2 years, we haven't had an overnight trip with the distance of the majority of our games. We don't need to be staying overnight before we're able to go into that same day. But for these players, I think it gives them an experience to get on the road, experience another venue, experience another team outside of the conference with some good talent as well. And then seeing what we have, we'll be able to see very quickly then with this first game, what do we have on our roster on the offense, defense side, how our specialists look in this first upcoming game, helping us prepare as we get ready then for our conference pack play then the following week when we play Geneva.
And what are your expectations, Coach, as you head into this season?
Our expectations for this upcoming season, honestly, sorry, broken record, just like I said, probably going into the spring of 21 that we just played, and then the fall of 19 in our first year, because we want to make continual progress going forward with our guys. Progress on the offense end, defense end, and on special teams end. Obviously, you've seen on the scoreboard, though, too. Progress in the wins column as we're going for this fall 2021 season. Our guys constantly pushing each other each and every day. I talk about taking it one day at a time. One day at a time. Before here on the football field, I always talk about the same thing off the field. One day at a time when you're in the classroom, pushing yourself in your class too, because those things correlate so much on and off the field to our guys. But then as we go into week in and week out, so making sure we're improving overall as a team as we go throughout the weekly schedule and the weekly season and too. It's very vital that we make sure we're constantly improving on all ends and pushing ourselves. So that way at the end of the season, being able to come back and reaching, hey, we make progress throughout. And that's the ultimate goal. We want to make sure we're making continual progress each season as we keep going forward.
Coach, thanks as always for the time, and best of luck to you and the Bearcats this upcoming season.
Oh, thanks, CJ. Thanks again for having me on. Looking forward to talking throughout the season as well.
Yep, always a pleasure to have you. And that was St. Vincent College football coach Aaron Smetanka. We continue on to Stefano's Den on 98.7 and 107.5 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, 910 WXJX, westmorelandgold.net, and the iHeartRadio app. Our next guest is the third-year head coach of the Seton Hill University Griffins, Dan Day. Good morning, Coach. Thanks for joining on this Saturday morning to talk some Seton Hill football.
Excited to do so, TJ. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. And last year, 2020, there wasn't a season for Seton Hill because the PSAC canceled the season due to COVID. So first off, what were the positives and negatives, Coach, from not having a season last year?
Yeah, I think when you look at our roster and, just overall where we were as a program, coming out of 19, having 54 freshmen, part of the program, it was, we weren't a startup, but in some ways it almost felt like that, with our roster. So the positive really was taking a pause in a sense from the football aspect, but really honing in on our strength and conditioning and just player development. That was something we really felt like we were able to excel and take out of not playing, in the fall. So even though we didn't play, we had our play, we had all of our players on campus in both the fall semester and the spring, and fall was definitely more, restrictive in terms of how much time we were able to get with the guys and what those groups looked like. So in the fall of 2020, we never did any team activities. Any team activity where everybody was together was only on Zoom. And we did some of those things in terms of team builds, but to be able to get him in the weight room and just continue to progress in that area, I would say that was a tremendous positive, and then having the ability to go into spring and have that as our declared season. So even though we didn't play anybody in the spring, we were able to get more than just our 15 practices, so we ended up at 28 by the time we had our spring game. So we had 28 practices to really just start to hone in on our craft offensively and defensively. So it gave us some time to expand on, our playbooks and what we want to run and who we want to be on both sides of the ball. We had a lot of time, just to teach and develop and make sure, guys kind of understood the structure and how each one of them fit into what we're doing schematically. So I would say that was a tremendous benefit in a negative situation. I think the biggest thing as coaches we look at that I would say is the negative is, you know, we're ready to go into, you know, going into the season and just not quite, you know, who are we really? You know, we feel like there's a ton of growth, a ton of development, but when the last snap happened in November of 2019, right? It's just hard when we were, you know, approaching the season to know, you know, who are we and how do we really, you know, stack up? What has that progression truly been? We feel great about it, but until you, you know, go out against outside competition, it's really hard to measure, you know, what that growth truly has been.
Now, I know a big thing with you since you got there was changing the culture of the football program. So how has that gone now as you enter year three?
That is what I would say I'm most excited about. You know, I talked to Dan a week or so ago, and you know, he had kind of asked, like, what would you say is the strength of the team? And I think our brotherhood and our camaraderie, you know, that was something that within the culture of our team wasn't really present, you know, when we started back in 19. And that was something we had to work really, really hard to develop and let that be not a weakness of our team, but a strength. And so as I look at the culture and where we're at, you know, program-wide, we as a coaching staff, and obviously credits to the players, but within our structure, we've hit the two highest team GPAs in school history have come, you know, since we got here in 2019. So culturally, you know, you look at what we want to accomplish on the field, that comes with things being in place, you know, off the field. And that commitment to doing things the right way, we talk about doing things the Griffin way here, meaning you put, you know, your best foot forward and your best effort into everything you do, you know, that is starting to truly become ingrained in their lives and the way that we're handling our business on and off the field. So that's part of what makes us so excited about our on-field success is knowing that, you know, that effort, that attitude, that mentality is truly kind of being baked into the program and every aspect in everything we do. And so that culture step to me, honestly, TJ, has taken a tremendous, tremendous step forward. And I would also build on, you know, what points to that, I would say, is our retention, you know, and what we've been able to do in terms of keeping players in place and excited, right? Like, we were 2-8 the last time we were on a football field, and we have 12 out of 19 seniors, you know, coming back to be a part of this team. When in today's age of college football, it's almost every year is free agency with the transfer portal.
Yeah.
These guys could have gone anywhere, you know? I mean, they could have graduated and went and played anywhere they wanted to. And for them to say, no, coach, we want to be here. Like, we want to be a part of that class that truly shows that first step on the field. For me, that's insanely exciting that they understand that culture and what we've been working to build.
Now, as we move into this season, first, how are your numbers roster-wise? Are you happy with what you have?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. It's been an odd year, you know, in terms of for everybody, right?
Yes.
with COVID and so many levels. But having the retention we have and then a much smaller, you know, recruiting class, it's the best numbers that I've ever had at you know, being here at Seton Hill. And so having, you know, depth, having our scout team be able to, you know, be that much more productive, having our scout team be able to be that much deeper helps us essentially in what we're able to accomplish on the practice field. So that part for us, you know, we didn't feel that dip you've heard about in higher education in terms of enrollment. We didn't feel it, at least within our football program. You know, if anything, we were turning guys away for the first time since we've been here because our numbers had held so steady.
Talk about some of the guys that you're looking to have a big year from. I know on offense and defense.
Yeah. So I'll start on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Chris Jones being our senior quarterback. You saw some of him in 19 as he was battling with Ryan Barabee, mm-hmm. who's now actually on staff for us as he's now Coach Barabee.
There we go.
You know, for the players, but seeing Chris as a senior really kind of settle into that role and playing a much, you know, just being a true quarterback for in 19 when we had him, for what he was able to do for our program was more, you know, we could put him out there because he was really athletic and he could make some dynamic plays happen. But he's done a much better job of just being a true, you know, quarterback for the entire, you know, offense and keeping us in good position. So I'm excited about that. And I think that, you know, potentially the deepest room on our roster is our running back room, you know, with Logan Weiland coming back, Michael Valentino coming back, Jaquan McGriff coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that Kirkland Robbins was on roster in 19. We didn't see him a ton, but he'll be a guy I think that'll have an impact there as well. We're going to be able to run the football, and not just because of their talent in the running back room, but I would say our most improved position group, top to bottom, on the entire roster is our offensive line. And that a lot of that comes from that strength development, you know, we talked about earlier. But the offensive line is one group that I'm just insanely excited about, right? But also, you know, some of that apprehension to see what that development is, you know, what we talked about again, TJ, earlier, and they've progressed, right? But let's get out there and let's play against somebody else and see really how much better we've actually gotten. But I anticipate all season long to be able to run the football at a pretty high level, which is what we wanted to establish ever since we came in, and that's what we wanted our program, you know, to end up being.
Yeah, and I was just going to say real quick, I know running the ball has been a struggle for the team, especially in 2019. Oh, sure. And that was because you guys were so young up front on that offensive line.
Yes, sir. I mean, we started, there were games we started four true freshmen.
Yeah.
in the B-Sack, right? I mean, uh-huh. You might be able to get away with that in certain leagues, but certainly not the B-Sack.
No.
So we're excited about that group for sure. And then, you know, receiver-wise, you're going to see a lot of, you know, guys that were able to contribute at a high level in 19. John Makel being a senior, mm-hmm. Mike Alardo being a senior, Uriah Rajkumar being a senior, you know, Darnell Carey, some guys that were there with us during that campaign, Terrell Gaither being another one. You know, so those are guys that were with us that had produced, and now I feel like that we can complement the run game. Yeah, I really feel like we can be that balanced offense that you can't, you know, you don't have that ability. In 19, TJ, there were times we're seeing a five-man box,
yeah,
and just still couldn't have success in running the football, right, which really tied a hand behind our back in mm-hmm. terms of what we were trying to run. I don't anticipate that being able to be the case this season with how we'll run the football. So excited about that balance. And we also have guys outside that are young that are going to contribute, and a true freshman in Todd Phillips, and another, you know, true freshman. He transferred in for us, but another freshman being Mark Bales are two guys that we know will have an impact, you know, outside at receiver as well. So we feel very, very deep, you know, across the board offensively. So excited about that balance that we know we'll bring into each and every Saturday. And defensively, you know, we obviously lost, you know, what I would say was probably one of the best players in program history, not just from one team, but in Fardae and Allen. So we've had to, you know, make sure we're able to, you know, you don't replace a guy like that, right? But your defense has to be able to step up and fill those holes.
Yes.
And so what I think you'll see different for us this year defensively is where Fardae made, you know, a ton of plays in the run game. Our free safety this year shouldn't have to, because our box is, you know, much improved. And that starts with Jaden Edmerton-Gaines. You know, he was one of our all-conference performers in 19, and I think he's playing even better football, you know, being that middle linebacker in the heart of the defense. Another guy in the box that's playing really, really well, and I expect to be an absolute standout in this season, is going to be Jalen McDuffie, a guy, you know, again, you saw some impact plays out of him in 19, but yes, he wasn't always consistent. That consistency is there now. I mean, he's the guy we struggle to block every day in practice. So
wow,
that's exciting, you know, to see him again against other competition. Now somebody else has to deal with him. we don't anymore. So being able to see that production, our defensive line is playing really well. Nelson Gideon is a guy that played a lot of snaps for us in 19, but is a guy that, you know, I think will go from a role player to an impact player, you know, for us in 21 here. So we're excited about that defense as a whole. Nario Walks, he was a guy that played a lot of football. And again, I know I keep saying it, but just his progression, you know, he was a guy that we looked at as somewhat, you know, I would say a liability on our defense in 2019. And he's flipped that script to be a guy that we fully expect to be another impact player on the defense, and somebody you can't kind of single out and target anymore. I mean, he'll make you pay. So we've got some secondary primary, you know, positions that we want to make sure we're, there's still some battles. And I think, to be honest, in that position will probably be where there's going to be some weekly battles and seeing what that progression is in the back end. But I just think how good our box is going to be in front of them, them creating pressure will take stress off of the back end. And that's why I think we're going to be able to be a much improved defense in 2021.
I want to talk about your conference here as we get set to wrap things up. The PSAC West. Now, you guys in the preseason poll were picked 6th out of 8 teams, and it's a brutal conference with Slippery Rock, IUP, CalU, Mercyhurst, Edinburgh, Gannon, and Clarion. Plus, you have crossover games with the PSAC East schools, and they're tough as well. So, just overall thoughts on the conference.
Yeah, you better strap up every single week.
Yeah, pretty much.
there's no such thing in this conference as a week off, right? I mean, and that's truthfully, that's what we have worked to. Yeah, I felt like that's what Seton Hill was in the PSAC. That's what we've worked so hard to not, you know, to make sure our programming is in a place that we're able to compete every single Saturday, regardless of who, you know, we're going to walk up against. And I would say, you know, from 2019 when we first got in and seeing the talent on our roster, you know, I really didn't feel like there were many Saturdays we walked out just, you know, completely outmatched. So now that we've had that ability to really progress our roster and be older, you know, up front, I'm really, really excited now having that year off and seeing physically how we do stack up. You know, like I said earlier, TJ, I feel like our offensive line now looks like a PSAC offensive line. And our, you know, progression in the weight room and what our defensive line and those linebackers, I mean, you know, I talked about Jalen McDuffie earlier, you know, his body composition for him in 2 years has completely changed, you know, and now he's 6'2", 230-pound, you know, player that he can beat everybody on our roster in a 30-yard shuttle. And to see a player like that, as explosive as he is now, that's what we're just so excited to see, that I don't feel like we're going to walk on a field on a Saturday anymore, right, and just feel like, man, those guys, they're just that much better talent-wise than we are right now. I really feel like we have absolutely closed that gap. And in this conference, it's not just talent. I mean, you have coaches that have been established, right? And that's part of what the fun is for us as a staff, is to match wits with some, you know, some coaches that are legends already at their,
yes,
you know, at their institutions. And that's part of the what I think makes the PSAC so unique. I think you look at, you know, everybody's going to say you have to have talent to win games. No question, right? But I think in our league specifically, because there's such great coaching, I mean, every single factor comes into play on Saturdays in terms of your preparation, the mentality of your team, you know, and then, you know, those individual matchups. So that's what part of what I feel like makes the PSAC so insanely competitive.
Coach, thanks as always for the time. Best of luck to you and the Griffins this season, and I'll talk with you again soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And that was Seton Hill University football coach Dan Day. That does it for DeStefano's Den this Saturday morning. You can like the show on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at SportsGuy1480. I'm your host, TJ DeStefano. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next Saturday here on Westmoreland Saturday Morning.